From the ongoing message of the Zero Issues Boys on Facebook.
I'm so tired. Why do I have to have a job?
You don't.
Oh, wait. Capitalism.
Man, like, the state could do with a good smashing.
Let's smash the state! Except, can I, like, still have all my comics and, like, video games and movies and toys and custom-made comic book hoodies and, you know...
Viva la revolution!
Oh. Viva that. Viva Zero Issues!
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast! Zero Issues Comic Podcast!
Excelsior!
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Kyle.
I'm Brian.
Manon.
I'm Mark.
He's very captivated by butt cheeks kissing.
Butt cheeks kissing, Merc.
Search for the GIF. You'll find it.
Search for the GIF, Merc.
Not unlike Deadpool, he's the Merc with a Merc.
Thanks for being here, and okay. We're going to get right into the
Thanks
news.
Thanks for being here. At your
Let's home. News that up.
Current Zero News Flash.
I'm going to start with something that's going to make you very excited.
Oh,
hopefully. Maybe you know about this.
Okay.
But the fact that you haven't mentioned it yet,
if it's on my list, I'll be very upset.
There is a new Mega Man series coming.
Oh, I think we might have talked about this before.
But yeah, well, this is a weird thing. It's
like
on Cartoon Network.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this and we were really sad about it.
Were you?
So, like, give us some good news.
I don't have good news. It's by Ben 10's Man of Action Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the weird thing. It was a new article that was literally published the day I was reading it, like, whatever, 3 days ago. And they were saying that this was announced in June of 2015. I'm like, it's several years later.
Yeah.
What's going on? But they
canceled that Archie comic, which was really good, and I feel like they were, like, canceling that in preparation for something that would not happen for a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Archie Comic Studios had a Mega Man comic that was really good. That's what he's talking about.
So, okay.
I'm still mad.
But it's still set to debut next year, which is the 30th anniversary
of
Mega Man.
Christ,
so
I remember, like, 15th anniversary stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Mega Man 8 came out on the 15th anniversary, I believe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right.
But it's like, there have been
the PlayStation
two
era
Mega
in general,
Man games since then.
Yeah, almost nothing. There was some image I saw online that looked like it was from the show, and there was that image we saw like years, like a while back.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was less
it was really
tarnish.
Okay.
It was still had a bit of that. It wasn't like totally old school Mega Man, but it was closer to it.
Okay.
Than the other image. So I'm like, okay, we'll see. But it still seemed to have the general idea. It was like, it's like the guy named Aki Light and he's going to like some high school and it's just, meh.
Like, we already did Battle Network. That was already
a
thing.
Is that or like the DreamWorks, or not DreamWorks, but like the Dream, whatever the Pat Lee Studio comic was that lasted.
Dreamwave.
That Dreamwave comic that lasted like 4 issues and what sucked. Just do what Archie did. But, you know, all right.
Thank you for the good news.
Yeah.
Yes, totally good news.
Like, you did your best.
I hope it's good.
Really, I hope it's good.
I love Mega Man. I want it to be good.
Wow, that was mega fun.
Okay, here's some horrible news. Michael Bay, well, good and bad news. I always say Michael Bay and then I back up. Michael Bay is stepping out of the Transformers universe. We kind of knew that, he'd done his part and he was like...
Could he have done that before he made Bumblebee pee on John Turturro? In the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still continuing, like with an expanded universe. There's already been talk of a 2018 Bumblebee movie. Like a spin-off movie.
He doesn't talk!
I know, which I don't understand.
Didn't he learn to talk at the end of the first movie and then conveniently forgot again because they could not actually have a f***ing story that made sense? Sorry.
Wait, I still function!
Wanna bet?
Here's the bad news, sorry guys. But Bay has revealed that there are 14 other stories in development.
No.
So spin-offs and whatever.
So I want to see a Wheelie movie.
Yeah.
Where it's Tom Kenny, pervert Wheelie. I want to see a Windblade movie that Michael Bay is not involved in at all and is actually a really good movie. Something with Rodimus because, I don't know, let's give something to people like Rodimus.
Could get a Beast Wars movie.
Oh, that'd be fun. I wonder how they'd ruin that.
They'd ruin
it. Gorilla Poop. Gorilla Poop.
Oh, they do Gorilla Poop.
Cheetor uses a litter box.
So basically what we're getting at is that Ninja Turtles got off light.
Waspinator is going to be a racial, you know, like an offensive racist thing of what race?
Wasps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh! Oh! Oh, I would watch that.
I thought that's what you were going for.
Oh! No. Just Waspinator is like a stereotypically really dumb character.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Who turns into a giant wasp.
But it works. Or
a motorcycle.
But it works because wasps thinks that they are the most, discriminated against thing. People in the world right now. So that works.
Well, Waspinator has plans.
Yeah, yeah.
To clean up this neighborhood.
Old Man Logan. I've mentioned it before that Jeff Lemire is departing from Marvel. Yeah. His exclusive deal with Marvel has ended, and he did not renew it, but weren't sure if he was, like, going to continue as, like, you could just continue as
the
agent or whatever you want to do. But apparently, Old Man Logan, which is one of my favorite books right now, I'm really enjoying it, him and Sorrentino, which I f***ing love his art. He's an incredible storyteller and really interesting kind of, like, how he kind of puts the panels together. The two of them are leaving Old Man Logan, and Ed Brisson and Mike Diodato are stepping in on issue 25. And
that's going to be pretty okay, I think.
Ed Brisson I really like. Diodato, he can sometimes be really good, sometimes not be as good. It can be in between, but I'm hoping at this point the storyline is that Old Man Logan has returned back to his original timeline.
Really?
Because, well, in the end of the actual thing, in the original Old Man Logan, he had, like, the baby Hulk that he left with one girl.
And, that was...
and then he's been getting flashes that, oh my god, that baby was not raised as to be a good person and actually became a crazy Hulk and was, like, this Ares
Hulk.
Gladiator Hulk with, like, this gladiator kind of Magneto helmet sort of thing and, like, took over the world and killed everybody sort of thing. So he's like, oh my god, I did the wrong thing, and I just left it with, I can't remember what woman he left the baby with, or what character it was.
Spider Lady?
Uh-oh.
But, I have to return that time, because he's like, I can't just abandon these people, and like, I started this, so I have to go kind of see what I can do, so he's going back. But, this is where they're introducing the Maestro into that storyline.
Okay.
Apparently. So, the Hulk Maestro. So, we'll see what they do with Ed Brisson. Ed Brisson, who's Canadian, I believe.
Okay.
Did Sheltered. F***ing loved that series. He's also taken over Iron Fist. He started up the new Iron Fist series.
Here's another thing coming this summer. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Usagi Yojimbo crossover one-shot, written and drawn by Stan Sakai, published in conjunction with Dark Horse and IDW. It's going to come out in two versions as a regular issue version and a deluxe hardcover version that'll have, like, layouts and pinups and character studies and all sorts of stuff. The idea, what I pick up from what the interviews have said, is that this is, you know, Usagi Yojimbo, like, mainline continuity of Usagi Yojimbo, who has crossed over with the Mirage Turtles before, the original comic Turtles, and he's now crossing over with the IDW ones.
And he knows that these are different versions of the same character.
Exactly.
That, like, I know.
So he's, like, sort of being like, hey, Leo, and, like, Leo has never met him before.
Yeah.
And he sort of has to, like, learn how to deal with these versions of people that he is familiar with.
I think that is super cool.
It's very cool. And even the IDW series and the Bebop and Rocksteady series played with that, because they had, like, a cameo, like, to a Mirage comic.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That they sort of, like, they played with that being, like, in their multiverse, that the Mirage, original Mirage comics versions exist in that multiverse, and they're just a different splinter off from it. And the idea that, like, Usagi is sort of crossing in with all of them sort of plays into that pretty well, and I'm pretty excited about that, because these are both handled very well, and Stan Sakai is awesome.
Yeah.
And
the villain is it Jay?
Yes.
Best villain.
Oh, for sure.
He's awesome.
It's amazing. Usagi's best villain. Yeah. So having that crossover and, like, him teaming up with, like, people he knows how to team up with, but they're not the same ones, so it adds a new wrinkle to it. That'll be really cool, and I definitely want to pick up the hardcover version of that, because, it'll be fancy.
One more quick thing? I don't know how to pronounce the guy's last name. Joe Mangiliano?
Oh, yeah.
Mangiliano? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mangiliano?
Mangiliano? Mangiliano.
That guy.
Joe M.
That guy.
Joe M. He wrote a script for a D&D movie.
Really?
And apparently it's pretty good. And he's, like, shopping it around and, like, trying to get this shit done. Cool. Remember the last Dungeons & Dragons movie?
Yeah.
How it was real bad?
It was super good.
So is he trying to be, like, the jack dude actor who's super into D&D? Is he trying to take
Look, I watched The Last Witch Hunter. I watched that movie. Oh,
that was brutal.
Let him have it. Let him have it.
Brutal.
All right.
It was real bad. But, like,
I love you, Groot, but
that's a franchise that in the past 10 years people have come out and been like, "Yeah, I played that when I was a kid," and like
it's at the right point where people you can tap into that.
Yes, there was a time where Dungeons and Dragons was the last bastion. That was where, like, yeah, I'm a fucking nerd, but I don't do that. And now it's hip and cool. Well, and people do it.
Now it's cool to be nerdy at all. So.
Yeah.
The Hugo Awards have been announced, and Thing will actually take place on August 11th.
Thing Ring, do your thing!
The actual ceremony and the announcements and the awards and everything. August 11th at the 75th Annual World Sci-Fi Convention in Helsinki, Finland. In the comic book category, in the best graphic story, is Black Panther Volume 1, A Nation Under Our Feet, Monstrous Volume 1, Awakening, which is the only one of that I don't know. I don't know that one. Written by Marjorie Liu and illustrated by Sana Takada. Oh, it's from Image. I don't know that.
I think I know the creators, but I don't know the book.
Ms. Marvel Volume 5, super famous. Paper Girls Volume 1, super good.
I read that.
Sega Volume 6, super good. The Vision Volume 1, A Little Worse Than a Man.
Wow.
I'm vying for that because I think hasn't read that, read that.
That does say a lot about how many actually really good comics Marvel's put out, but anyway.
Yeah, you know what? Image, Paper Girls, Sega, and Monstrous are all Image. Good for them.
Image is rocking it.
Good for them. It's like, basically that's half and half. Good job.
And the last nominee, Civil War 2. I joke.
But awards don't sell books, and
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Maybe books should not suck.
Let's,
Not sucking sells books.
Let's warm this up.
Welcome to the warm-up!
So, welcome to the warm-up. Today's a very special day.
Is it?
It's a very special day because it's Intellectual Property Day.
Oh. Celebrated by millions.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially those in the Philippines. I don't know why, but they just like it.
Huh. That's neat.
Yeah.
Anyway, complete non sequitur.
Yeah.
As people who do stuff at shows, at like craft shows and conventions and whatnot,
yes.
Sometimes we
run into that thing.
Yes, we are liberal appliers of fair use.
The fair use clause that lies within the ability to access publicly and privately owned stuff and how to utilize that and to sell it for your own thing.
And how to not get sued over it.
Yeah.
So, in honor of the day, I am doing a little intellectual property fair use quiz.
Oh, shit.
So, very, very quick. 5 questions.
10%.
That might come in later. So 5 questions. Tell me yes or no. Is this fair use? Number 1, Liechtenstein's Wham.
I'm not
familiar. You're not familiar. That's like the most famous.
Is that?
Is it the pilot one?
Oh, okay.
I feel like sadly it was it is. To be.
Yeah. I believe that falls under.
Even though it was just flat out just recreating a specific.
It was, piece but of yeah, art. In terms of the context and blowing it up and changing the whole thing, and yeah,
it was able to be successfully argued that it was.
Yeah,
it was. Yes, and because it was transformative,
right?
It said something else. I don't know what it really said.
That set this bar pretty goddamn low.
Yeah, yeah. So and that's the most important part of it. If it can say something about a thing, or if it can transform in some other way, show it in some other different light, that's the most important part of fair use. That's like half of it, basically.
Right.
There's four distinct parts of it, but that's the most important one. Number two, I heard about this the other day. There is an unpublished, but hired by Marvel to write this story, and it was written, it was drawn. It's an unreleased Old Man Spider-Ham. Like, 6-page thing.
Like Old Man Logan.
Yeah, like Old Man Logan, but it's Spider-Ham.
Oh, I would love to see that.
I would love to see it, too.
That's amazing.
And the art was like, you know, it's like Spider-Ham, but it's...
Yeah.
He's saying, no, I'm done. I've hung up my costume. But he keeps, like, looking for someone to, like, call him on a quest sort of thing. Right. But it's unpublished. If one of us were to get our hands on it, print it... It's never been, you know, published by Marvel.
Yeah.
Is that fair use?
That is not fair use.
How come?
Because those are already their intellectual properties, and it's also done by somebody else, and it's not transformative. You're not changing it in any way. You're just taking that existing thing that somebody else has already done and just putting it out.
Yeah. That's just piracy.
Yeah. You basically just stolen somebody else's stuff and put it out.
That's right. Correct. Not unlike J.D. Salinger's unpublished letters. I may have read the Wikipedia article on fair use quite a bit. Number three is, do you remember when Morrison was writing Justice League? Like, was it early 2000s?
Yeah.
Late 90s?
Right around there.
It was actually the very first issue when the White Martians first showed up and they're pretending to be superheroes. And they're solving a bunch of world problems and they're just straight up killing supervillains. There's a panel where they're like, a whole bunch of them are using, I guess what turns out to be Martian vision, but whatever, some sort of I-beam to kill some supervillains. Wolverine is tied up on one side of the guy getting killed, and Doctor Doom is on the other side. Okay. This is a DC book.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's very clearly Wolverine and Doctor Doom from behind. Fair use? Yes or no?
Technically not fair use, but... There's a long-running history of Marvel and DC using each other's characters.
They
in the odd little, like, kind of, like, nod and whatever. Technically Marvel could probably sue them
If they could be argued that it was a parody in some way, which is
That doesn't sound like parody,
but it feels like one of those things that might not technically be fair use, but yeah, like you say, they're likely to turn a blind eye to.
It's definitely not parody, but it's a cameo, it's very quick, there's no profit from it, really.
Right.
It's just for fun, and yeah, that's another fair use. I feel like...
Is it technically fair use?
It is technically fair use.
Really?
If it's like a very brief cameo, and it doesn't profit the publisher at all.
But that's the weird thing. You would have to make sure... Like, you would never have to advertise it that they're in there.
Mm-hmm.
You would... That can't be on the cover.
It's one panel.
It would be like a one-panel throwaway, yeah.
Yeah.
Number five?
Yeah.
Number four?
And this one isn't a comics one. You guys know the movie Snakes on a Plane?
Yep.
You guys know the movie Snakes on a Train?
I know it exists.
It exists. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've never seen Snakes on a Plane, but I watched the Asylum version of Snakes on a Train.
Oh, Asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Snakes on a Train fair use? Because it's basically the same story.
Yeah.
It came out...
Their entire like business...
Before it's, Snakes it's on a Plane.
Their entire parody, business thing is supposed to be supposedly parody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I feel like parody is a fairly broad definition.
Remember the movie Transmorphers that came out at the same time as Transformers?
I do. I didn't watch it, but I know what you're talking about.
It is fair use because it didn't take away a significant portion of the market from Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, it was direct to video. Wow, that was in the theaters.
It's the same as Betamax and VHS.
Yeah.
It's
a different format. You can't directly compete with it. And by the
No.
Yeah.
How does that play in?
By the time Transformers comes out on like DVD, that has been out for 6 months because they release it on DVD at the same time it's out in the theater.
And that's shortly thereafter. That's like Betamax suing over VHS because like they're taking away from our market. Like, yes, they might be taking away from your market, but it's a completely different format.
Yeah, but you're not. You're playing with the same
things. It's technicalities.
Yeah, that's a weird.
That's the legal system. This is why it took me an hour and a half to write these five questions.
Yeah.
Because I had to read it over several times. I do not.
I have to read legalese. Yeah. That's when I sent you that message going, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. And you're like, f*** it, I already did.
I did it 15 minutes ago.
Damn you. Why didn't you send that message 2 hours ago?
And number five. And this is, I feel like I'm not keeping score because you're both saying the same thing to every one of these questions.
Pretty much.
You sons of bitches. This new book I'm writing, so get this. It's like 100 years after Frankenstein was created, and he fights a zombie Jesus. Am I good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, public domain, you guys.
No, actually, you know what? That depends on how you visually depict the Frankenstein.
Well, it's actually...
Because Universal...
It's actually Victor Frankenstein.
Oh, it's Victor. Okay, it's not the monster?
No, it's not. I said Frankenstein. I didn't say Frankenstein's monster.
That depends on who you're talking to.
Is Jesus wearing...
And that's... Okay, here's a weird thing.
Jesus, white robe, blue sash.
Oh, f*** off. He's not wearing a Ragman baseball shirt? Then f*** you.
He's got a full beard.
Ah, Jesus, not a goatee.
He just has a mustache.
Last year, when I went to Calgary, like, every year they open up, they have the Calgary art book.
Yeah.
And you can do, they have some sort of theme, and whoever is involved with it can do a piece of art that goes into the art book, and then it gets kind of juried and whatever, and if you get in, that's cool.
Yeah.
You submit your piece, and you get you can do a frame or whatever, and it gets auctioned off, and it goes to charity. But that art book itself... People pick it up at the door, and then it's a good marketing piece for the artist because then those people, they're like, oh, they walk around and go to every table. They have a list of where your table is, and they go to your table and like, can you sign this for me? And it's a cool thing that's like, just brings people to your table, which is cool. It's a win-win for everybody. Like, everybody gets some art and you get people to come to your table. So last year they had fairy tales and monsters, and I love doing like the universal, like the Frankenstein, the mummy. I love those, like the Dracula, those monsters, those ones that we all know and love. And so I started a piece doing that, and I got partway through and I went, oh shit, and started looking it up. Frankenstein, Dracula, the mummy, those are all technically public access kind of characters, but it depends on how you depict them.
Right.
If you're accessing, if you're depicting it as the Frankenstein, the Boris Karloff, like the square head thing with the neck bolts and that, that's their depiction. They actually own the copyright to that.
Right.
So it's a trademark for them. You cannot do that. Same with Bela Lugosi as Dracula. Yeah. But like, and I guess Mummy's a little looser because it's like it's just wrapped in.
Right.
Sheets, stuff, whatever, like, but you can't really get around that, but, so I had to give that up, and I did a wholly, totally different piece. That book, you can't do anything that's copyrighted, so.
But you've sold that other place.
But I have that original piece, because I started that, and then I was like, I left it, and then I did that other piece.
I've seen that a bunch, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, whenever we do stuff, people will come up and be like, that one's really cool.
I have that original piece, because it's original pencil and ink piece, and it's huge, and it's like, you know, $200, so it's not going to sell super easy.
Yeah.
Art-wise, like, I do t-shirts, and I do a lot of artwork that just gets sold at conventions and stuff, and I just did a run of new t-shirts with a new company that I hadn't worked with yet, and... I did like three different Star Wars ones and a couple of other different things. And the guy actually called me, and this is the first time I've ever been asked when doing the t-shirts, is, can you legally do these? I don't want to, like, and it's them covering their own asses, and it's totally a fair question, and I actually appreciated the fact that they were inquiring, which was interesting because no one had ever questioned anything before. They just did it. And then that's when I was explaining to him the fair use clause and just the fact that it's like, one, it's, I'm not taking someone else's artwork and just like popping it out and doing it. I'm like, I created the artwork. I drew everything. And I also like,
You're not like Banksy. It's like, yeah, there's Mickey Mouse, but with a Hitler mustache. Banksy.
Yeah. What a jerk.
I don't know the guy, or do I?
But then you also fall into, like, when you're an artist alley, you do fall into these gray areas of how far does fair use stuff go? And then it's also,
be ready to argue it.
It's an argue, and then it's also, okay, Marvel, I've done a drawing of Ghost Rider. And it's my drawing, but it's not like a satirical, and it's not completely changed. It could be argued that it's not transformative, but it's in my own style doing this character. Can I not sell that? And it could be very easily probably argued that it couldn't be sold.
Well, that takes us to, the fourth one, where it's like, you know, if that takes away from their market, if they wanted to make a Ghost Rider print very similar to the one that you have, they own that character.
But then that's the thing, it's, you go to these conventions,
this is a thing that hasn't actually happened.
Yeah, like, you will never see Marvel step in, and especially when your people are doing it on a very small scale. If you're doing it on an extremely large scale, and I've seen that, where you're like, I'm printing 7,000 prints and, you know, 1,000 t-shirts, you might get somebody's attention, and you might get a lawyer giving you a call. It's different when you're just like, hey, I printed, you know, 20 prints and I have 10 t-shirts. Like, it's odds are you're not going to get a call, but it's also, there's a weird thing of just promoting that culture of what we do.
Right.
You go to these conventions, we're part of creating that mythos and promotion of those characters. Like, there's nobody from Marvel there selling stuff going, here's this picture of Spider-Man or whatever. Like, that's what Artist Alley is for. And you could argue that Artist Alley actually promotes a lot of those characters. Marvel and DC, yes, I understand, they don't get the direct money, but they also
they get the exposure.
It's, yeah, exactly.
We're paying you guys an exposure.
Yeah. It's okay.
You like it.
It's okay. Somebody will come see your movie. I'll tell them about it, and they'll go see it.
Yeah. I'm going to tell all my friends about your movie.
It is this weird thing where it's like a kind of give and take of, obviously the people in Artist Alley know that they can't go too far in creating so much stuff and doing, and how they do it. They have to create the artwork. Not that there haven't been people in Artist Alley that are, they snag the stuff off whatever DeviantArt or Marvel or wherever, where it's, they're actually taking it out of other people's in Artist Alley. We've seen that where it's
really
just taking it out of DeviantArt, and there's been several people caught of just like selling whoever's artwork, and then somebody walks up and goes, "Hey, that's my drawing. What the hell are you doing?"
That is the easiest thing to spot in the world.
Yeah.
What the f***?
Today, the day that this
April 26th, 1986.
Well, it's 2017, but we are looking at the 31st anniversary of the Chernobyl disaster.
Yeah.
Which makes it in very good taste, to talk about radiation in comic books.
What's the time limit on this sort of thing?
Like, being in bad taste?
I think we're beyond the, I think we're good.
I mean, so.
We're in the clear.
South Park, you know, decided, what, 8 or 9 years ago that it was okay to do 9/11 jokes.
We're not South Park though, but.
No. But we're also a lot smaller than South Park.
This is 2 years less than I've been alive. So, you know, let's do it.
So, let's talk about some superheroes. Who got their power from radiation?
There's the big ones.
All of them.
Yeah, really.
And that's the weird thing. Like, that, the story developed from, like, what's going on in society at that point. And so yes. It's like the Cold War. Well, during the Cold War, everyone's scared of nuclear war. And not like it's totally unwarranted. It's completely warranted. Yeah. It's understandable. And it's like Stan Lee and those people were drawing off that fear and the radiation, the atomic thing that's... Science had taken
you scared
to a forefront.
Of radiation, true believers?
Yeah! Take a look at gamma radiation, the Hulk!
Take a look at some good cosmic radiation, the Fantastic Four. Except for the Thing.
Oh, there's a radioactive spider. It's biting Peter Parker.
Check out this
like,
yeah. Check out this like... fella. It's Negative Man. Yeah. I'm not Stan Lee anymore. Check out my mummy bandages, because apparently that's the only thing they can make this cloth out of.
Yeah.
Oh, how you get along day after day without me explaining things, I never will know.
Years back, the Ultimate Comics made a point to kind of not do radiation so much. They had, like, genetic engineering.
Yeah, that's the boogeyman now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, like, their vague way of, like, updating that.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of just went away. Like they did that for a bit, and the Ultimate Comics went away, and that went away, and it seems like it's just, they've gone back to the classic versions. Do you think there's a reason to change that, to sort of, like, downplay the radioactive element that was... historically relevant in the 60s.
But I think that I don't want to say that readers are more intelligent now, but I think they are. Like, and I think
you just might have said it.
It's not like you were stupid and you didn't understand.
We knew less about it.
Exactly.
People knew less
one,
about
there's
yeah,
just
they didn't
the
know where the sun went
yeah,
at night.
There's no. just the information of the, that's out. And then I think readers now just generally are more informative.
Sure.
I think they're aware that it doesn't matter where they got their powers. It's
yeah.
some sort of mythology that doesn't...
Yeah, you have, like, one side of it of, like, what's scientifically correct, and then you have the other side of the suspension of disbelief.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. It's a story. It's okay.
And you also
he got bit by a spider. It's fine. That's not gonna happen. You get bit by a spider... You can't climb walls.
Yeah, it happened to me once. I just got really sick.
Yeah.
You have that mythology aspect where
like
it's,
I was in the
it's where these stories came from.
I've seen it where it's like devoured parts of skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
like
gross.
The brown recluse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a friend of mine in Vancouver that got bit by one, and it was
they're
gross.
They're here.
Yeah, they're all over. Yeah, we have them here.
They're here?
They're all over Canada.
They've been here for a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's
they're not. They're not very...
Was it necrotic fasciitis or something like that?
Yeah, it like it basically just breaks down the tissue.
Yeah.
So and then it bubbles up and it looks it was brutal. She had a bandage over and she's like, "Do you want to see this?" And I'm like, "Probably not." And she shows me anyway, and it was gross.
Ugh. Anyway,
yeah.
If there's the argument where like you know they have that initial mythology of radiation causing these powers, genetic engineering as science is currently is not giving people spider powers. Nor is radiation, so there's maybe the argument where just, you know, let the Marvel Universe...
Well, then what
be
will give us...
Be nonsense.
They have cilia disease.
What will give us spider powers?
Yeah, really.
Nothing.
I mean, I've been eating dozens of spiders.
Yeah.
Just a bowl of...
Bite
all
me,
the time.
Bite me, sons of bitches.
You've been in my house, you know I've got that cereal dispenser full of crunchy spiders.
Yeah. Listen, we wish you all
corn
the luck.
Spiders.
I do love corn spiders.
Spider flakes.
You know, I like spider bran.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Keeps you regular.
Well, yeah, it's got the scorpion bits in there, too.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not gonna lie.
It's a little spicy.
Sometimes they sting.
Yeah.
Sometimes they pinch.
Hi-yo.
Sometimes, they crackle. When you add the milk.
Superman.
Yeah.
Pretty radioactive character.
Well, yes, because... Because
he gets his power from the sun.
I mean,
no, it light.
The root word of radiation is ray. I did look up the etymology.
Light is a form of radiation.
So you read about the ray.
It's electromagnetic radiation, technically.
Yeah.
So we're not sure. Is I don't know that it's ever been explored of exactly how he gets it. From.
I'm sure. It's
I'm
been
sure
explored
somewhere. And I'm sure it's been Morrison. I'm sure Morrison did it.
He did.
He would not be the first.
Yeah.
And now, the worst ever summary of All-Star Superman.
He basically got sun cancer because he had too much exposure to the sun. So yes, he did.
How does sun cancer look?
He kind of got, like, more powerful, and then he started to die for some reason.
Then he hung out in the sun.
Yeah, and he just decided to live there.
I'm just going
to
build a thing in here. I guess I'm building a thing
in here. A series of pulleys.
We're going to make this clock in the sun.
Yeah.
Pulley sun.
Sun clock.
Oh, boy. It's fine. Now this clock's a boy.
Yep, as we know.
Now this boy's fighting the Power Rangers.
Boy, he is a Power Ranger.
Oh.
He's a Zoo Ranger.
Is there a microwave hero?
Well, there's Microwave. Wait, who is Microwave? I know the name. Who is Microwave?
I have no idea.
I feel like that's like a new Teen Titan.
And who's his arch enemy? Or should I say, foil? Get it?
That would, goddamn.
Microwave, who's his foil?
I like that little...
You like that? I can only do that once.
I was real mad about it until I heard that little giggle for some reason, in which case that made me want to protect you. Can we talk about radiation-themed villains?
Can we talk about Radiation Roy?
Who's that?
He was a Legion audition.
Okay.
Legion did not accept Radiation Roy, who got his powers, guess how?
From Roy.
That's right. He was bitten by a radioactive Roy. In the future.
I was in school class. When all Roys are radioactive. And we went to a Roy exhibit. Yeah. And, Roy bit me.
He was shot by, the Terror's Roy gun, not to be confused with the Terror's Ray gun. Which turned an entire town into just a guy named Ray.
Doesn't say pew pew, it just says pew!
Hey, how are ya?
Pew!
I'm Ray.
Yeah.
No, but Radiation Roy was like, he got his powers from radiation, and it kind of backfired, and he had to wear, like, a containment suit, because he was, I don't know, physically repulsive, I guess. I don't know the guy.
Yeah, there's a bunch of, like, those containment suit kind of ones.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, Captain Atom, Wildfire.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he tried out for the Legion, he did not make it, and he joined the Justice League of Earth, which was, like, this group that was sort of founded on the inaccurate notion that Superman was a human, and they were sort of like this group of xenophobic superhero dicks. That's all I have to say about Radiation Roy, a character whose name and defining feature is Radiation Roy.
How about Radiation Man from Marvel Comics?
Yeah.
Chen Liu, whose whole idea, he's, like, literally a radioactive man.
I used to hate it when I was a kid. It was like, he's a big green glowy guy. And partially it's the depiction, like, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Just that.
I liked him when he was gloppy, in the, but then it's Thunderbolts.
Yeah, yep. It actually kind of, like, they updated it a little bit.
Suit and was like trying not to subject other people to his own, like, radiation.
Everybody's dying, he's around me.
He could manipulate radiation, he could, like, give off heat powers, he could, like, make people... He could inflict nausea and dizziness and radiation poisoning in people, which is
f***ed. Or, you know, just lightly just give you a raging case of diarrhea.
Yeah.
I feel horrible. Oh, God.
But the more nuanced idea of him, like, just not wanting to inflict that on other people necessarily.
Well, it's kind of like Chemo from, like, Young Avengers. Or not Young Avengers, Avengers Academy.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that character at all.
I didn't read Avengers Academy, but she was in, what was the name of the book? The one that was, like, Battle Royale.
Oh,
or, like, Hunger Games.
Whatever. I forget what it was.
Avengers Arcade is gonna put you all on Murder World Island.
Yeah.
That was the thing where, like...
I love Battle Royale, but that...
I liked that.
That was
book.
A secret...
Was it good?
War one. Secret Wars.
No.
This was
pre-Secret Wars.
They picked a lot of characters who you might not miss.
And also X-23.
Yeah.
And she was fine.
Yeah.
Surprise, she was fine.
Didn't they have a couple of the Runaways in there, too?
Yeah, Nico, Chase.
Did they all survive?
Nico, Case?
Sorry. You're cute.
Did the Runaways...
I'll keep you.
Did the Runaways all survive?
Um,
they ran away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Surprise. Probably.
Anyway.
There's ones like Atomic Skull.
Captain Britain Jr. Died. Anyway.
Yeah.
There's the DC version of Chemo, who was literally created as a receptacle for chemical and radioactive waste that just came to life one day. And then
I like that one. I like the character design on that. Just like
Who is that?
He's like a almost like a humanoid bag full of just like green glowing radioactive ooze. Yeah. And he's got like some hookups in the face area.
He was in that that Batman one with where they all have giant robots.
I will have to look that up.
You watched it. You told me
about
it.
All right.
This whole deal is he's just literally like a bag full of radioactive waste.
Mr. Freeze.
Oh, I know.
Infinite Crisis. They drop him on Blue Haven. They drop him on Blue Haven in Infinite Crisis. And
I know what you're talking about
That sucked. But
agreed.
Everything about that story sucked.
But Gotham's fine.
Yep. So who cares? I guess it's all fine now.
I liked, what's his name, Brimstone from Justice League Unlimited. Do you remember that one where it was just that one-off one where Supergirl gets dispatched with a couple, like, with Green Arrow and Captain Atom to China, and there was, like, this...
Well, that character is very much like Chemo.
Yeah. But it was, like, this big, huge,
Like, super huge.
Yeah, like, building size sort of character that's just, like, stumbling along. And they have to get the rods into the proper placement to shut the cooling unit down. And I just the visuals of that, those sort of characters, I really enjoy those. Sort of. Yeah.
This huge thing that I gotta stop. I feel really bad that I didn't mention this when we were talking about Spider-Man earlier. Spider-Man's radioactive fluids.
Oh, yeah. I have that written down in my notes for worst, and then an arrow to Spider-Man Reign, and then a sad face.
Oh.
That's literally my entire notes.
I've got Spider-Man's radioactive ... What is that called? Ellipses?
Yeah.
Ellipses. Fluids, and then in brackets, funny jokes? Because, is he strong? Yes, he is.
He's got
Finish that yourself.
That was a bad idea.
I just did in my head.
And also, that entire story was a bad idea.
Have you read Reign?
I've seen bits of it.
Are you familiar with the idea that Spider-Man has radioactive, not just blood, but every body fluid, and prolonged exposure killed Mary Jane?
Yeah. Well, I kind of picked that up. Yeah.
No, I want to talk about Spider-Man's semen.
All right.
That was real terrible.
Yeah.
Also, the fact where, like clutching her swing? Corpse at one
yes,
point.
Yes, he's screaming. He's got wait.
That was... I feel like any try-hard attempt to try to, like, match Dark Knight Returns is going to be real awful.
What about the Duck Knight Returns? The Darkwing Duck one?
Okay, well, that one gets a pass.
All right, cool.
That's actually pretty great.
Isn't that Andrew Kerr...
Yeah.
Didn't he do that?
Who I like as an artist.
Yeah, he did Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Which, he did a stint at
that one, though.
Wasn't my favorite Iron Fist, but it was interesting.
Yeah. Like, I've enjoyed him as an artist, and he's did a lot of Spider-Man work, like covers and stuff like that, and a couple of full-length comics, but that one itself was not fun.
Up and at 'em.
Up and at them.
Up and at 'em.
Up and at them.
Up and at them.
Up and at them.
Better.
Captain Atom himself.
Yeah.
Literally a
who?
Atomic man. Captain Atom.
Oh, yeah.
He
yeah,
flies, totally, yeah. Has radiation blasts, explodes, sucks.
Well, he's one of those ones.
He's a total frickin' square.
I'm a no containment one likes unit. Him. I'm a containment unit that's got a bunch of stuff in me.
Am I the monarch? Nah. But yes, I am!
I'm a balloon! Poke a hole in me!
What about the best radioactive character of all time? And I'm talking Nuclear Man from Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Radioactive Man.
Oh,
What's his origin? He was buying an atomic bomb and then he got radioactive powers? And then he must use them only for good?
I don't recall.
Well, like, there was that first issue, but it was destroyed by that lightning strike, so...
That's true, yeah. So we can never know for sure.
Who's your favorite, like, of all the actual Radioactive characters?
Fallout Boy. Jiminy Jellicers.
You have to
yeah.
Jiminy Jellicers. Jiminy Jellicers. Mickey Rooney.
I can only go with the one where the goggles do nothing.
Oh, actually, I kind of like Radiation Dude.
The knockoff, yeah.
How so? Explain.
I'm not getting into this right now.
This is past the point of Simpsons references to just reading a script from an episode of Simpsons.
Omen of Zero. Zero.
I think it's time to check on some fan mail. When we bring that up on Stillcam. Oh, wait, we're an auditory podcast, but that doesn't work.
Audio format.
Let me just read a few of them that have come through.
Can we come up with a fun name for...
Do you want to... Yeah. Letters column name is...
The Cooldown. No. 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 Anything?
Heroes to Zeros. I got nothing.
These are really weak, guys.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? Maybe that's a bad idea. Yeah. Maybe we should just go into this.
Maybe we should just, yeah.
Yeah.
So the first letter says, Dear Zero Issues, I love your show. You guys are so funny, and you really celebrate the love of comics. Well, that's nice.
That's really nice. That's sweet, that's sweet.
Why does it feel like it's someone great. We know wrote this?
It's great to listen to. I do have some ideas I would like to run by you when you have time to maybe revamp some areas, tweak some spots, and take it to the next level. That's signed Jeff Johns.
cool. Well, you know, like, we're happy to hear from him. We're pulling for you. I don't know what you're doing now, but, you know, best of luck.
All I will say, there's zero chance that all of us are half-clones of Lex Luthor, but, just wait a few years and who knows.
Oh, yeah, here's a couple of just short little, email and Facebook post notes.
Yeah.
There's, ... cool idea. Just signed Fred Kennedy.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, it is our idea. And,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that history will check out.
We'll see how that goes.
Just us.
Another short one.
A little bit afraid about that one.
Yeah.
Enough.
Another short one. Thank you for all the support. That's all it says. Like, that's nice. What is it? Oh, signed all the regional microbreweries.
No.
Oh.
So Sleeping Giant, Dawson Trail.
Lake of the Woods. Lake of the Woods.
Lake of the Woods. They're very good.
The makers of Smirnoff Ice.
Yeah. Oh.
They all count.
I think we might have our first harsh one. You are horrible, evil people who bring nothing good into the world. Every word that comes out of your mouth is insulting and offensive, and we will do everything in our power to shut you down. We are starting a petition. Signed 1 million moms.
Oh. Is that for me, mostly?
No, I think...
Is that all of us?
That, I don't know.
Who?
1 million moms?
Who asked
They're the same
them
people
to
that
get involved?
They had the petition against Lucifer, the TV show.
Yeah, I feel like somebody might have asked for them to get involved in our business, but I don't remember who.
Hmm.
Never heard of them.
Keep listening, all 1 million of you.
Sounds made up.
There's definitely 1 million of you,
I think it's
for
made
sure.
Up.
There's not that many moms. Do the math. Earth's only 6,000 years old. How many moms could there be?
It's impossible.
Here's one, it's a short one, another short one. Why are you so mean? Your words cut like diamonds. R. Layfield. Who's that?
I thought that would have been Todd.
Todd Layfield? Who's Todd Layfield?
Oh, it's Rob's older brother.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Sons of bitches. Don't break him, my brother. This one just says, I don't get it, followed by, please keep it down. Signed, my wife. Oh. This next one says, come home and play video games. Signed, Bri's wife.
Later!
Well.
It was empty.
This last one just says, why all the Dragon Ball references?
signed my subconscious.
Mm-hmm. Your subconscious, not your conscious. Because you're
making
pretty
it.
Conscious about it.
Listen, there's an answer to that question, but you definitely have to travel Snake Way and train with King Kai to learn the answer.
Get out of my house.
Well, I'm Kyle. You can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com. I've got books and prints and all of...
Prints? Kills!
Yeah, all hail the new king in town. Anyway, I do a whole bunch of stuff, and that's the best way to keep up on what I'm doing. You can also check out my Twitter, at thekylelees, same as that for Instagram, because no one else would possibly ever take thekylelees, because it is an arrogant title, and what sort of prick would take that?
This kind of the other one.
My name is Bry Kotick. You can check out my comic at welcometoyourafter.com. Book 4 will start in the summer at some point, called The God Who Fell to Earth. I'm currently wrapping up the third book, Christ Incorporated. It's almost done. So,
That's a good time to jump in.
Yeah, it's catch upable. I'm gonna take a little break on updates, so you can go back and dig into that without worrying about, like, hey man, updates, that's stressful. I get it. It's stressful for me. It's stressful for everybody. So, check that out right about now would be good. And also, you can check me out, BryKotyk on the internet, and, I'll be there somewhere.
I'm Merc. You can find me at my website at mercasylum.ca, mercasylum.ca. You can see my galleries and stuff and info. There's a little yellow sign at the bottom left corner. You click and it says store. Drops you down to the store, the Asylum storehouse. And there's books and merch and t-shirts and prints and stuff and lots and things. I have a new book called Season of the Dead Hours. You can find it there, and you can find me at Merc on Facebook, Mercanaut, like astronaut, on Instagram, and Merc Asylum on the Twitters.
Check out Ocean City Defender.
Yes.
He's a great dude, great musician, who helped us out with our music. It's, we'll just look up Ocean City Defender. You'll find that. If you don't find the classic bootleg Nintendo game, you will find him. He's on iTunes for sure. He's on a lot of stuff. He's a good guy. Find him on Facebook. Great music.
He's got, yeah,
music
a couple of albums out, and he's also got... He's doing a lot of film and kind of soundtrack work.
And if you haven't heard him before, and you've only heard, like, our music, our interstitial stuff, or theme music, check out his solo stuff.
Yeah. The stuff that you hear is the stuff that I wrote that him and I put together. So it doesn't sound like this stuff. That sounds more like me. His stuff sounds like kind of like a 80s new wave meets kind of modern sound sort of stuff.
Also, check us out. Yep. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are on Facebook and Twitter. And pretty much any app or website you use to listen to podcasts, just look up Zero Issues. And we will be there. And please... If you like the show, please let people know, and that would help us out a lot.
Like, comment, share.
Yeah.
If you want to find us on Facebook, we're on Facebook and Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Drop us a line. Let us know if you like stuff. If you want to hear more stuff, if you have some suggestions, we are very open to suggestions. We're very interactive.
Write us a letter. We'll read it on the show.
We are real people, and we will respond to you.
We exist.
I'm an LMD.
Whatever.
Oh, guys, I didn't tell you I'm an LMD.
Sons of bitches.
I've been an LMD the whole time.
Then stab you right in the face.
Yeah, I'm also completely sober. I'm a lying. I'm just trying to think of other words that rhyme. His dad's dead, so is his mom.
And he's got sores all around his bum.